Starting in September, we have had as our theme, Fearless, Experiencing God in a Broken World. And it is true, Christians can live a life of fearlessness. However, it is very much a reality that fear grips people on a regular basis. Now, fear is good in that we need to fear things that would hurt us and make appropriate precautions. And yet, there is so much of fear that is debilitating and causes great pain in people's lives. A preacher entered a police station and he had to pay a parking fine. And he noticed an older lady just ahead of him was trembling all over. He said, "Well, I paid my little fine, was about to leave, when I saw the lady sitting in the bench just in the corner, absorbed in a book. What's the trouble?" the preacher said. "Is there anything I can do?" "Oh, no, thank you," she said. "You see, I was sitting at home all alone reading this mystery story and got so scared that I came down here to finish it under police protection." Oh, it's amazing with all of the input from technology and everything else how many things can come and cause us to be fearful. Some years ago, a very extensive study was done of several thousand 7 to 11-year-olds, and it was released by the Private Foundation for Children's Development. And though many children feel good about their families and all, more than two-thirds are scared that someone bad is around their neighborhood waiting to break into their homes. And a quarter of them are afraid to go outside because they're afraid they're going to be attacked. And but it's very interesting. Children addicted to television, that's 4 hours or more, and this is, of course, several years ago, are twice as likely to be fearful. Nearly 25% of all children are frightened by all of the different violence on the TV programs and now, of course, different other venues and live in fear. Well, you remember back at a time when there really was a reason for fear, when our country was just about to enter a world war, that Franklin Delano Roosevelt, as president, made a statement that has been quoted millions of times, and that was, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." And in so many ways, that is true. And so this morning, I want us to take the admonition of the Lord, "Fear thou not. Fear thou not." And that is found in Isaiah chapter 41, we're going to look at just one verse here this morning, verse 10. That is our theme verse for these months of ministry right now that we are in. And this is a tremendous encouragement, not only to the people of Israel, but is very applicable for us. These principles are for our lives. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Israel, here in this passage, was to not fear like the other nations around them. God was judging them. Horrible things were happening. But Israel, though they were experiencing some of God's chastening, was not to fear like the other nations were to fear. They were God's people. In fact, the very first time God tells someone not to fear is Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." So the nation of Israel, if they were walking with God, they had nothing to fear. And that's how they should live. And the same thing is for us as believers. If we know the Lord, we do not need to fear. In fact, a proper perspective on fear ought to be part of our inheritance. So I want us to see here today, first of all, God's desire for us. God's desire for us, "Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. God wants us to have freedom from fear. Did you know that? Did you know God's just deep desire for each one in this building here today is that we would live free from anxiety, free from those attacks of worry about the future, fear of that debilitating fear. Lot right now is very uncertain. There are many things, and I could just go right down the line of naming the different issues that we're facing in our day. And frankly, it has caused there to bring fear into many people's lives. But with a relationship with God, we can be free from fear. Fear comes primarily from those who are cut off from God. You see, he's speaking to his people, fear thou not, be not dismayed. Why? For I am thy God. If we truly know the Lord, if we truly have been born from above, we are a child of God, if we truly have a relationship with him, we can follow the admonition not to fear. But let me say this. If you don't have that relationship, you have every reason to fear. Things can be bad now, but my friends, eternity is very fearful because God is a holy God. And God has made it very clear throughout the entire Word of God, he loves us, and we're going to see in a few moments, he sent his Son to die for us. He did everything possible to cause us not to have judgment, but the fact is judgment awaits everyone who goes into a Christless eternity. And my friend, that is worth living in fear about. But you know, for those that are saved, we have a relationship with God. We don't need to fear. The early Native Americans had a unique practice of training their young men. On the night of the boy's 13th birthday, after learning hunting, scouting, and fishing skills, he was put to the final test. He was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. This was a very fearful thing. Until then, the boy had never been away from the security of his family and tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken several miles away. When he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of thick woods and he was terrified. Every time a twig snapped, he visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. After what seemed like an eternity, dawn broke and the first rays of sunlight would enter the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers, trees, and the outline of a path. Then, to his utter astonishment, he beheld the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with bow and arrow. His father. He had been standing there all night long. And so for everyone that knows Christ as Savior, everyone who is a child of God, as you go through the night seasons of life, as you go through some of the naturally terrifying human sets of circumstances, there can be a deep peace because he is there. He is with us through the deepest of trials. And so a relationship with God is the key to overcoming fear. Now, most people look at trying to have a relationship with God in the context of somehow earning God's forgiveness, earning the place of being in his favor. And friends, that is a very foolish thing to think about. That's why that fear is there, because no person can be as holy as God. Not one person in this room, not one person in the room, in the world, can enter heaven on their own merits, because heaven is holy, God is holy, and there is no way that anything unholy, according to Revelation chapter 21, will enter into heaven. That certainly eliminates me and eliminates everybody that is here. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, have come short of his perfections that cause him to be so glorious. And so for us to think that somehow we can achieve heaven is going to be a life of anxiety. It's going to be a life of pressure. It's going to be a life of futility, and it's going to end in disaster. Because that person, endeavoring to face eternity based upon their own merits, will fall short. And as we find in Revelation 20, all will be found guilty. A visitor was asking a very old bedridden woman why she was trying to be a Christian. That's what she told this pastor that was visiting her. The pastor asked, "Are you trying to be Mrs. White?" "No, I am Mrs. White." "Well, how long have you been Mrs. White?" And she raised her hand and said, "Ever since this ring was on my finger." "That is how it is with me," the preacher said. "I don't try to be a Christian. I have been one ever since I put my empty hand out and received Jesus Christ as my Savior." Friend, we don't do the saving. Jesus does. It is through his merit of what he did on the cross that we can have everlasting life. My friend, I trust you will gain from this time here together that this endeavoring to somehow be good enough, to somehow be religious enough, to somehow earn God's favor, I trust you'll realize that's not removing your fears. That's not causing you in the depths of the night to wonder what's going to happen when death occurs. It does not solve the problem, because you're not in that wonderful, secure, eternal relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. And so he wants us to have freedom from fear, but it comes as we have a relationship with him. A businessman named Alan Emery was in the wool business, and he one time spent an evening with a shepherd on the Texas prairie. During the night, the wail of the coyotes, and that's such an eerie wail if you've been around that, especially out camping, pierced the air. The shepherd dogs growled and peered into the darkness. The sheep, which had been sleeping, lumbered to their feet, alarmed, and began to bleat pitifully. The shepherd tossed more logs onto the fire, and the flame shot up, and in the glow, Alan, the businessman, looked out and saw 1,000 little lights. He realized that those were the reflection of the fire in the eyes of the sheep. And he observed, in the midst of danger, the sheep were not looking out into the darkness, but were keeping their eyes set in the direction of safety, looking directly at their shepherd. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Folks, let me just encourage you here this morning. If you know the Lord, you are not in darkness. You don't have the unknown. You know what your future holds. You know your position with him. You know that Jesus is nigh. You know the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. And God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And the key is to look to Jesus. In the midst of the darkness, do not look to circumstances and your own ability, but look to him. And God will work. Matthew 10:31, "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Luke 12:32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." We can trust him. And he wants us to be confident in every circumstance, no matter what year it is. If you look back with me, it's "fear thou not." That's the relationship he wants us to have, "for I'm with thee." I'm there. "Be not dismayed." The word "dismayed" means to gaze around in anxiety, to be thrown by the circumstances. A little boy had a part in a school play that read, it was a very simple line, but a very important one, "It is I. Be not afraid." He worked hard on that, then got out and looked at the circumstances, and it said, "It's me, and I'm scared." We can know the word of God, but many a believer, instead of just reveling in that relationship, start looking around at the circumstances, are distracted. And C.H. Spurgeon, the great preacher, speaking about the peace of God, said, "I looked at Christ and the dove of peace flew in my heart. I looked at the dove of peace and it flew away." In other words, trying to hold on to peace based upon circumstances will guarantee you will not have peace. But a walk with God, "I am with thee," will change everything. What a wonderful thing. There's a well-known painting titled Peace. It depicts waves crashing against the jagged rocks. It portrays the violence of a crushing storm. It seems to be anything but peaceful, but down in a small corner of the painting, tucked away in the rocks, is a little bird sitting in her nest, totally oblivious to the raging storm all about. That is peace. And that is what we have as a believer. Philippians 4:6, be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So friends, first of all, this is God's desire. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Remember, every command is a good thing, because when he says, fear thou not, he's wanting to give you peace. Isn't that great? I mean, that's God's will for you. God wants you to go Monday through Sunday with peace in your life. That deep sense of his presence and being at ease with the circumstances, not being thrown, understanding what the purpose of your life truly is, and to be able to live with that stability in your heart. Well, that leads me to God's promise to us. And right in the middle of this, I've already stated this. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. That's why we shouldn't fear, and that's why we're not to be dismayed, looking around, gazing around, distracted with anxiety and fear. His presence. Now, this is one of the most precious truths of all of Scripture. You find it right from the very beginning. God created man for him. God created you, and he created me for eternal fellowship with him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him should worship him in spirit and in truth, and we are spirit. We will live somewhere forever. In fact, folks, one of the most sublime thoughts you can ever think is that you're an eternal spirit, and you will live somewhere forever. Let me tell you, you know in your heart, you are not an evolved animal. You are created by an almighty God. And you are made in his image, and you are special to him, and he wants to fellowship with you. We have in our very personality and makeup the ability to truly have a genuine, dynamic relationship with God. Sin entered in because we have a free will. And that's why Jesus came, to pay the price for our sin. But it shows you the absolute reality of that relationship. We have heard so much about loneliness. If we've heard so much about people feeling empty and so forth, that just screams out the reality of the lack of knowledge of the one who should be with them. You see, God's will is that for each of us, we should experience his presence. I'm telling you, to walk with God is what life is all about. When you do not know the Lord as Savior and you're cut off from him and you have never truly become a child of God, you can't have that fellowship. And that's why there are so many pursuits in life that people are involved in to try to somehow meet that need in their heart. But all for a believer to walk with Jesus, to know that he's real, to spend that time in the quiet of the morning and throughout the day with the Spirit of God manifesting the reality of God in our life, it meets the deepest needs of our hearts. And to be able to be an instrument of blessing in the hand of an almighty God, and to have an eternal purpose, folks, it is just glorious. And that's what God wants. He wants us to experience his presence. Psalm 73:23, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me in my right hand. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. A preacher some years back wrote, my mother died in 1946. At that time, he had been a pastor for 17 years. Hundreds of times he tried to minister to people that were going through bereavement, reading to them the promises of God. He believed every one of them, but he had not experienced anyone really close to him having gone through the valley of the shadow of death. So we couldn't fully understand it. But as he sat at his mother's funeral, his heart ached. Then the preacher that was handling the sermon got up, his mother's pastor and his longtime friend, and read from Isaiah 43, just a couple of pages from this, "When thou pass through the water, I will be with thee." And it seemed like he was hearing those words of that passage that he knew very well. And suddenly a calm came over him that he could not describe. It has never left him. The Holy Spirit had made those words his own. My friends, the hardest of moments, when God is there, it's okay. And that's not a platitude, friends. That's not a nice concept. That's not an idealism. He's real. He's the creator. He's the almighty one who's on the throne right now. When you ask a Christian, how do you know you're saved? I know because he lives in my heart. It's a reality. And it's just glorious that the wall of partition of sin, we have all sinned, we cannot earn heaven, but when we come to know the Lord, that wall is removed and we can have fellowship with God because the judgment for our sin is paid for through Christ. And so he wants us to have a relationship with him. It's been made possible for us to become a child of God, John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. My friends, 2,000 years ago, the impossible took place. We could not save ourselves. No man could take our place. We were totally under condemnation. But all the sacrifices of the Old Testament were foretelling of this great moment when God himself, the Creator, would come to this earth, become a human being. That's what we're going to celebrate, the incarnation of Jesus Christ at Christmas time. And he became one of us, still God. His spirit was the divine creator, but had become truly a man through the virgin birth. And my friend, he lived on this earth, lived a genuine human life. He did not sin. He was perfectly holy, tested in every point like we are. And when he went to that cross, he was able to be the legal, judicial sacrifice for you and for me. And that's why he came. And when he hung there on that cross, every sin I've ever committed or will commit and every sin you will ever commit and have committed were put on him. He died for the sins of the whole world, the Bible says. They were nailed to him. He was a fully representative of us. And when God the Father judged him, he judged the sin of every one of us. And Jesus paid the eternal punishment completely. And the great proof of that is he rose mightily from the grave and is alive today. So that means this partition, this impossibility has been taken away. I can actually have a relationship with God. He says, I'm with you. I want to be with you. That's my whole purpose for creating you. I want a relationship with you. But as John 1:12 said, it's as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe or put their dependence upon his name. My friend, if you want that relationship, the only way that that can be possible is for you to come to the end of yourself, realize there is no way you can become a Christian yourself. There's no way to earn it. There's no way to be good enough. You've got to simply receive it as a gift. That's why we give gifts at Christmas. It's a beautiful thing. A picture of the fact that he gave himself for us. And if we'll put our faith in him alone and ask him to save us, we become a child of God, and we have the privilege of having an intimate relationship with him. You know, God wants to make us completely new people, a new creation. In the book, Born Crucified, it tells about a simple countryman took his gun to the gunsmith for repairs. After examining it, the latter said, "Your gun is very worn out, ruinous, good for nothing. What sort of repairing do you want for it?" "Well, I don't see as if I can do with anything short of a new stock, lock, and barrel. That ought to set it up again." "Well," the smith said, "you better just go ahead and get a new gun." "Oh, I never thought of that." strikes me, that's just what I want to do. A new stock, a new lock, a new barrel. That's what I'm going to do. A brand new gun. Very simple perspective. Hate to tell you folks, you need a brand new life. Don't try to reform your life. You need to become a new creation. You need to realize that our spirit is cut off from God, dead in trespasses and sins. But when we trust Christ, we're regenerated. We're made alive. We are given the righteousness of God. We become part of His family. And God makes us into a new man. Isn't that wonderful? And that allows us then to have fellowship with God and to have a genuine friendship, because we are there on the merits of Jesus Christ. We are as righteous as Christ in our spirit because it's His righteousness. And we have the same standing as Jesus Christ does with the Father because we're represented in Him. Friends, there's nothing better than that. You go from being cut off from God, from being one under judgment, to being one who is represented at the throne by Jesus Christ and will spend an eternity in the Father's house because you're a child of God. Why do we resist that? Oh, what love. You see, He wants a relationship with you. It's a tremendous, tremendous privilege. He wants us to be with Him. Well, is He able to do it? I've already given the reasons why, but let's look at the last part here, God's provision for us. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. That's what He wants. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand, the powerful right hand of my righteousness. Friends, our salvation is totally of God. And when you think of the power and might of God, when you think of by just His word, He created this massive universe, that through just His will, every atomic structure is held together, this one who has all power is with you. And His salvation He can keep. He can meet your need. It is all of Him. He has the power to save. No one else does. He is able to save us. And friends, He is able to strengthen thee and help thee, because Jesus came to this earth and shed His blood for us. His blood was the sacrifice, the atonement, the covering for our sins. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, that's all of us, Christ died for us on our behalf. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, legally declared righteous by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Friends, there's no news better than that news. He loved us. He proved His love. Don't ever say that God doesn't love everyone. He proved His love, that Jesus, God Himself, came to this earth. He died for you and died for me. My friend, you were there 2,000 years ago and represented in the cross. He loved you so much, He went through the agony of bearing sin, a perfectly holy God. I cannot even imagine what happened between the Father and the Son. We are able to be legally declared righteous by His sacrifice, justified by His blood, and we're saved from the wrath of hell through Him. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:12 tells us that we are saved, for this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made a footstool. For by, note this, one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, Christian, do not let Satan cause you to doubt your salvation. It has nothing to do with you. If you just simply looked at Jesus and said, save you, he has the strength to save you. He has the power to keep you. It is his salvation, not your salvation. It is his work. It never was your work. And so you can rest in the one who has completed it all and has sat at the right hand of the Father, and you can have deep assurance in your soul that you have everlasting life. He can save us. My friend, he can save you. Now, my friends, as we think about all these things that God has done, doesn't it sort of help fear sort of melt away? When you think of God's personal, intimate love for us and what he has done and his involvement and the fact that he indwells us, why do believers fear? It means we're not walking with him. We're self-focused. We're listening to the world's philosophies. We are not walking in that fullness of relationship for which he came. He was willing to go through everything for us. Mrs. Samuel Untermeyer, wife of the late lawyer, once called her husband from Europe about a Gobelin tapestry, very, very well known, that she'd found, and the price was $25,000. This was a few years ago. It's probably worth $250,000 today. And she wanted to know if she should buy it. No, was her husband's reply. The price is too high. But shock of shocks, she came back from Europe with the tapestry. And the husband was shocked. He said, why did you disregard my reply? Well, she showed him the cable. No price too high. Just all ran together. Well, we chuckle about that. But there is a moment in heaven in which Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit said, no price is too high. That's how much he loves us. No price is too high. The Holy Son of God shed his blood for us. And he died for everyone. The well-known preacher Richard Baxter said, I thank God for the word whosoever. If God had said there was mercy for Richard Baxter, I'm so vile a sinner that I would have thought he meant some other Richard Baxter. But when he says whosoever, I know that includes me, the worst of all Richard Baxters. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Whosoever can come. This is a message for everybody, for every one of us. And he's able to uphold us by his strong arm. He's actually strengthened us is the idea there. He will help us, just that involvement. Yea, he will uphold us. It has the idea of his omnipotent right hand of authority and power that comes because he is perfectly righteous and because he paid the price for our sins. His righteousness becomes ours, and according to his law, according to his justice, and according to what he has done and his love, he is able to hold us, and we have nothing to fear. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, every believer. Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. My friends, we need to know this God that loves us and not let fear grip us. It was past midnight. A strange feeling came over the engineer of a train that something evil was going to happen. He was a Christian, and he felt like something dangerous was going to be ahead. He told his fireman, Jim, who was also a Christian, about it. So they knelt down and put their hands on the engine and asked God right there to undo whatever it was that God had prompted their hearts to know that there was danger. Well, they took off, committed their train to him, who sees in the darkness as well as in the light. And it was also almost morning when they saw a man running and waving frantically. He applied the emergency brake, and the train came to a standstill as quickly as it could. The man screamed, there's a broken rail just ahead of you. When I saw it, I said to the man, this is the one telling the story, thank God for answered prayer, but what made you come out so early? Well, he said, at midnight, God woke me up. He was a Christian, and I could not rest till I examined a huge length of the railway line. He said, I don't know why I would do that, but God told me to, and I found the broken rail. And so those three men, they kneeled on that track and thanked God for his deliverance. Now, friends, if God can do that in the physical realm, can't he do it in every realm? Why do we keep living with fear of what could happen? A believer knows what will happen. We're going to be with the Lord. A believer knows what's going to happen in this world because they have the Word of God. A believer knows that the Prince of Peace is their God, and that the Holy Spirit indwells them, and that the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And so a believer should not fear, knowing that an omnipotent God will strengthen and help and uphold us, and his presence will be with us. Christians, we need to show to this world we have a God that we can trust, and that we know him, and his presence is real in our lives. And my friend, if you're here, and as I talked about what Jesus Christ did on the cross, how he died for you, would you realize there's no way for you to be able to have peace with God that will bring the peace of God until you're willing to admit, I can't do it. He did it. Jesus died for me. He rose again. I can see that. I know I don't have any hope, and I know I'm not living deep down with peace about now or eternity. I'm willing to admit I'm a sinner, that I deserve God's judgment, that Jesus died in my place. And I want to have that everlasting life, to become a child of God by putting my faith in him. Friend, throughout eternity, you'll never be sorry for that decision, to have peace with God. Fear thou not. Let's bow for prayer.